Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Praise God. Wow, look at all of you. That's awesome. So glad that you're here this morning. Do want to bring a little bit of clarity to one of the announcements. The dinner that's taking place for the young ladies, I think on the 17th, that's actually my wife and I are going to be hosting that. She'll be with me. Amen. And she's got a lot of good stuff to share also. And yeah, as far as the dinner goes, we've been requested to make our homemade meatballs. Okay, so we'll be making that. And so, young ladies, you'll be able to sample what the guys had the last time. Man, big smiles over there. Amen. So, yeah. So please, if that's you, if you fall into that category, we ask you, please come. It's going to be a fun night. I have some stuff to share with you, young ladies. And we'll get a chance to deposit some important things in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
So, I was having this conversation this morning, earlier, so I didn't realize how impacting this message was going to be.
Amen.
About a month ago or so, about 6 weeks ago, I started getting this sense on the inside to start talking about conditions of the heart, because it's such a major foundational thing in our lives, because everything we do, everything we say, the way we interact with each other, the decisions that we make, really are all affected by the conditions of our heart. But I had no idea the impact it was going to have, especially last week's message on bitterness. And because it's very rare that the same people come to church every weekend, I want to review some of that and then move into a little bit more covering that area. And let's just see where the Holy Spirit takes us. Okay? Amen? So I'm going to ask you to please pay close attention. Again, this is a 9 o'clock service. We need to be out of here at a specific time for the parking situation. And please, when you do come, I know you're here today, so obviously you found a parking space. But if you come on a day, whether it's Wednesday night, because this is a situation that's not just limited to Sunday morning. If you come on Wednesday night, you can still go. If you can't find a parking space, this past Wednesday night was like that. Please go down to the Pizza Hut property there. Okay, it's not always going to be the Pizza Hut. We'll be telling you about our plans, but I thought we'd be closing on that property last week, but I guess it's probably going to be the beginning of this week. That's our property now. Okay, so yeah, praise God. So you can go park there, and the shuttle will take you and drop you off right here at the front doors. The shuttle will also take you back after service to pick your car up. Okay, so please don't ride around and go, I can't find a parking space, and then turn around and go home. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help the cause. It doesn't help anything. All right, and we'll have some other things to talk about in the future as far as what's going to be happening over the next 6 months here at the Brick Campus.
Amen.
Amen? So I want to jump right into this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I want you to read it with me nice and loud. Is it up there? Yes, it is. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, what's God saying? God's saying, guard with all diligence. In other words, be intentional about this. Don't be the type of person that walks around through life, whatever happens, happens. Okay, walking around with your mouth open, catching flies, just hoping to have a good experience. You got to be intentional about some things.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. So, especially when it comes to things that would affect our heart, our emotions, because it affects so much about us, and we'll be talking a lot about that. There's a lot of symptoms that show up when our spiritual heart is sick. Now, understand, when we're talking about spiritual heart, when the Bible refers to the heart, it's not talking about the muscle in our chest. It's talking about the very core of your being, who you really are on the inside. Amen? So we would say it's more closely related to the soul. Okay? So when we get damaged in our soul, the symptoms will show up. Some people manifest anxiety. Some people manifest out of control rage. It could affect marriages. It could affect your finances. It could affect much more than that. And we're going to talk about even the physical aspects of what happens when our heart's not clean of these things. We know that bitterness is a result of unhealed wounds. This is all review from last week. It's a result of disappointments. Anybody ever have any disappointments in life? Maybe just a few. Just a few. Anybody ever have any disappointments in life?
Yes.
Get that blood flowing. Get the arm moving. We suffer betrayals. And sometimes without realizing it, or sometimes realizing it, we have a desire for revenge. That's not good. That's a sign of bitterness in the heart. It could come from unfulfilled dreams. But one thing is definitely true. Bitterness undealt with is always going to lead to resentment. And what is resentment? Resentment is that state of constantly reliving the hurt, the wound, the disappointment. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So God created us. He knows us. He knows full well how destructive bitterness can be to us, not just spiritually, but let's talk about a more practical side of this. But also mentally and physically. We can get affected by these things. I'm going to read you an excerpt from an article that I found from a healthcare professional. Her name is Dr. Debbie Silber. She's the founder and CEO of, listen to the name of this organization, it tells you a sign of the times that we're in, Post Betrayal Transformation Institute. That could, because we don't want to realize that sometimes there's so many of us that suffer betrayal. And it literally can trigger like a post-traumatic stress type of responses. We get triggered by things. Amen? So listen to what she had to say, because this really made me realize how serious this situation is. These are her words now. Resentment and bitterness are powerful emotions that can consume us from inside out. Resentment and bitterness are like toxic fuel for stress. When you harbor these negative emotions, your body's stress response is continually activated, releasing stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. This constant state of stress can lead us to a host of physical issues, including high blood pressure, increased heart rate, a weakened immune system, and over time, chronic stress can contribute to serious conditions such as cardiovascular disease and autoimmune disorders. It lowers our ability to fight. Our emotions can lower our body's ability to fight off disease. Amen? So no wonder why God wants this stuff out of our lives. He created us. He knows how our bodies operate. I'm going to continue. Emotions like resentment and bitterness can wreak havoc on your sleep patterns and digestive issues. How many of you had a situation happen in life and all of a sudden you can't sleep, you're up all night, the mind is just... And you, next thing you know, you got stomach issues. This is all from this type of just bitterness in our hearts and resentment, which, listen, let's be honest, because that's where we're going to end up today, which is tied to unforgiveness. You and I cannot afford to live with unforgiveness. It'll take a toll on our lives. We're commanded by God to get rid of anything that would damage our heart or damage our soul. Now, before we even get into some of these scriptures, think about this. Would God command us to do things that he has not equipped us to do? No, of course not. So if he's commanding us to do some of the things we're going to talk about, understand you have the ability and I have the ability to do this if we'll be intentional about it. Amen? Ephesians 4, verse 30. Now look at this. We're going to see that this stuff even affects our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to grieve somebody? To upset. Right? To grieve is to put the person in a position of mourning. Is to create a gap or a divide between you and the Holy Spirit. That's not that he's leaving us. But we can displease him because he's a person.
Amen.
He's not an it. Please don't ever refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Okay? He's not part of the Adams family. The Holy Spirit is a person.
Amen.
So, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let. You know, it's only three letters, but it's one of the most powerful things in life. Because you have the... You have the choice to either let something happen one way or the other. It's up to you. So he tells us, Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and it's all really all tied up as one big ball of wax, be put away from you with all malice. What's malice? When a person has malice of heart, there's just hatred there, mean. You start, when you entertain bitterness and you entertain resentment, it's going to be very easy for you to speak very mean about individuals that that have hurt you, or that something has happened in the relationship. That's the first thing we got to learn how to control is this. Because when this starts talking, all hell is released.
Amen.
A couple of people want to be honest to us. Oh, I don't know. I never heard of that concept. The best way to get rid of bitterness and resentment is following here in verse 32. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30-31 sets the condition. But 32 starts to give us the hope and give us the light at the end of the tunnel. So let's read the whole thing and then go into verse 32. All right, this way we're keeping it in context. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let, that involves us, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's an important thing. Why is it that we always want to hold somebody else to a higher standard that we want ourselves to be held at?
Amen.
We want God to forgive us for everything, but we want to hold people and just, you know, keep them like an ace under your sleeve, that whenever they get on your nerves, you say, I remember when you did this and you did that and you hurt my feelings. And yeah, it happened 50 years ago. And you're still living it like it happened yesterday. Start being intentional about self-awareness.
Yeah.
Be self-aware. If somebody mentions a person's name and it triggers you, you might have bitterness in your heart.
Amen.
If you're invited to go someplace and you find out somebody's name and you start making arrangements to get out of that invitation, that's probably a good indication you've got bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart.
Amen.
Is this too real this morning?
No.
Would you rather me stand up here and tell some fairy tale stories and stuff? Because that doesn't help us. Just facing the reality of these things is what helps us.
Amen.
And I'm assuming you came here this morning to try to get something that's going to make life easier, like make life better, and maybe avoid some of these pitfalls that we see people getting involved in that are constantly living in bitterness and unforgiveness.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about your background. My background, my family have master's degrees in bitterness, unforgiveness. We've got doctorates. They have developed it to a fine craft. Now, thank God, well, I don't know about thank God, but most of that generation has passed off the scene. And thank God the younger ones and the younger generations, we're starting to wake up and go, we can't live like
Amen.
Our parents did.
Amen.
We can't operate like that generation did.
Amen?
Amen? So, and I pray that spreads through all of us, because I know there are many of you in this room, you probably come from a similar background. Regardless of what the ethnicity is, it has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has to do with human nature that stinks.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 12, we talked about this last week. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace.
Amen.
Pursue peace. Well, Pastor, if that person decides to come and apologize, then maybe I'll consider. No, that's not what the scripture says.
Amen.
The scripture puts the responsibility on you. You go pursue peace.
Amen.
Oh, I guess we don't want to hear this stuff this morning. Pursue. That's not a suggestion. It's a command. And again, I'll remind you, God would never tell us or command us to do something that he hasn't given us the ability to do. The problem is, most people never tap into the grace that's needed to do the tough things. We just want to float through life, and if it happens, it happens. Well, if a relationship gets restored, it gets restored. No. Godly relationships need to be nurtured. They need to be cared for. They need to be protected. Yes. Do things happen sometimes? Yes. It's because some of us, we don't, either one or the other or both parties, don't guard their hearts. And when you don't guard your heart, you start entertaining things that could be true, but most of the time they're speculation. And if you don't go pursue peace, that thing is going to stay there for years. Are you listening this morning?
Yes.
Pursue peace with how many? All people. And holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Look at this again. Here's the intentionality. Looking carefully. Look, this is not a nonchalant thing. This is something we need to be, this needs to be part of our daily business. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the
grace.
Wow. Wow. So bitterness can cause me to fall short. Bitterness that I'm determined to hold on to. Unforgiveness that I'm determined to hold on to can cause me to fall short of God's grace. I'm not, this is not talking about salvation now. But this is talking about your ability to tap into the power of God, which is going to take for you to walk in forgiveness, for you to maybe have to swallow some things that are not going to change.
Amen.
Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Look at this one. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And please, for the sake of the gospel, if you've been the type of person and when somebody hurts you, you hold on to it, you let it fester, and then the next step when nothing is happening and the person's not coming down and bowing down before you, now you get on the phone or you start texting people, hey, you know what so-and-so did to me. What are you doing? You just allowed the root of bitterness to spring forth and start producing fruit. And now it's not bad enough that it defiled your heart. Now you get on the phone and you start defiling everybody else's heart.
Amen.
Now you start putting seeds in everybody else's heart. Come on, we got to face these kind of things. I talked about this last night. There's some things to this day my wife doesn't know. Oh, you keep secrets from your wife? Yeah. You want to know why? I've learned this years ago. Trust me, I didn't start pastoring yesterday. There's been times in the past when something happens between people in the church. I'm not going to go run and tell her. Why? Because now I put a seed in her heart, and when she sees that person the next time, she now has to deal with her head. In her head, I know what so-and-so did. I know what this person did to their husband. I know what this person did to their wife. I know what this person did to them. I know what this person did to my husband.
Amen.
I'm not going to put that stuff in her heart.
Amen.
But every once in a while, she'll find out something. She'll go, why didn't you tell me? Because I love you, and I don't want you to have to deal with that stuff.
Yes.
I remember many years ago, I was nowhere near, I wasn't even Bible school. It was way before Bible school. We were good friends with a couple, and they're all in heaven now. And I went over to the person's house, and the wife starts telling me in front of the husband this horrible thing that the husband, I mean degenerate, crazy stuff that the husband did. We prayed, and I said to them, I want you to understand something. This never leaves here. As far as I'm concerned, you don't have to be concerned about me telling anybody anything. And I kept that promise. 6, 7, 8 months later, my wife gets invited to the same house for some little tea party or something like that. I don't know. And what does the wife do? She tells all the women there what the husband did to her.
Wow.
So my wife comes home mad at me. Why didn't you tell me? I said, number one, I gave my word that I would never tell anybody. Number two, I didn't want you to have a seed in your heart that the next time you see this guy, you're going to look at him cross-eyed.
Amen.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Learn that lesson. Don't be responsible for defiling somebody else because of a hurt that you went through.
Amen.
Is this too real today? Is this too real? Because what ends up happening is those two parties reconcile. Now you got it in your heart. Every time you see the person, you're thinking, I know what you did. And it's bad enough that you got to deal with it, but now you get on the phone and tell 20 other people, and this is how we do it as Christians. Hey, listen, I just want to tell you so you know how to pray. Do you understand now the process of what Hebrews 12 is talking about?
Yes.
So don't you think it's easier to get the thing out before it takes root?
Yes.
Than to have to deal with the fruit later on?
Yes,
yes or no?
Yes.
So then do it. Because I'm telling you what, we're sitting here right now, amen, amen, hallelujah, preach it, pastor, the whole bit. But you're going to go out of here in a little while. And it's getting closer and closer as I'm looking at the clock. Okay? And you're going to have an opportunity to put this into practice.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you're going to have an opportunity. Many of you, before you get to your car in the parking lot, the devil's going to be waiting, hanging out on the hood of the car, ready to tell you something to stir you up when you get out there. Now, you might be across the street because we pray for angels to cover the property. So you might be waiting for you at the light down the street. I'm not sure. But he ain't coming on this property. Are you listening to me? These are practical. You know, most of the problems we deal with, they're practical issues. But if we're not intentional, if we don't take instruction from the Word, then we suffer for years. It affects our mental health. It affects our physical health. Most of the time, you go to the doctors, you go to the doctors for something to happen in your emotions that affected you physically. All right. You got it?
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about how to address this problem, bitterness and resentment. Number one. Now, I'm going to move fast, okay? Acknowledge and accept. The first step is to recognize and acknowledge the feeling of resentment. Without judgment, because there's no use, and you've got enough damage to deal with here, there's no use in you now beating yourself up because you recognize, oh man, I allowed myself to become bitter. Yeah. Just acknowledge it, okay? Don't stay there, but acknowledge it. Why? Because you can't deal with something that you don't acknowledge. You got to bring it before the Lord. And he's the one to go to. You don't ever have to worry about depositing a seed of bitterness in God's heart. Okay, he's the safest person for you to go to. Instead of getting on the phone, text, Facebook. I don't want to say who, but give me a stinking break. What do you think? We don't know what you're talking about? Acknowledge and accept it. Accept the fact that you've been wounded. Stop being in denial. Stop saying everything is okay when it's not okay on the inside. That's your first step. Number two, examine your expectations. This is a big one. Okay, examine your expectations. Consider if you had unrealistic expectations or believed someone owed you something because maybe you set yourself up to be hurt.
Amen.
Thank you, Rob. Nobody else wants to admit it because they skipped number one. To acknowledge and accept. Examine your expectations. Maybe you went into a relationship with ridiculous expectations. And now because those expectations that you set up haven't been met, now you're wounded and you're hurt, but the expectations were unreasonable to begin with.
Amen.
I talked about this last night a lot because it really happens a lot in church. And especially, and again, I'm going to repeat what I said last night. I love everybody that comes to church. Love you all. Love every single one of you. More than you probably know. But I will say this. And we see a lot of people now coming into church, and it's not happening just here, it's happening all over the place, that never had any previous church experience.
Amen.
Give me 1,000 families like that.
Amen.
That have no previous experience at a church. Because now we can start from scratch, we can build in what needs to be built in, we can build on a good foundation, a foundation of the Word. Because the most dangerous thing you hear in church is from a person who says, well, you know the church I used to go to. Stop right there. You're not in the church you used to go to.
Amen.
Adjust your expectations. And I brought this up last night, and I have to address this. There's 20 of us on staff. Okay, 20 of us. Last week's attendance, just the attendance last weekend across all the campuses for the week, was over 1,800 people. That's not why I'm saying that to you. There's only 20 of us. That's 1,800 that showed up on one weekend. If everybody showed up that calls Wall Campus their home, Brick their home, Bayville their home, you're probably looking at over 3,000 people. How are the 20 of us supposed to have personal relationship with every single one of you? It's impossible. So adjust your expectations. I'm not saying leave here, but you know, if you came, here's a typical thing, and I just have to say it. And forgive me, I'm not trying to pinpoint anybody, but sometimes we get pressured. I need you to come. We need to go to breakfast. We need to go to lunch. If I accepted every invitation, we would. In fact, somebody suggested to me this morning, you'd never have to buy another meal. but we got things to do. I'm not just here every day waiting to go to breakfast with this one, lunch with the next one, dinner with the other. When am I supposed to do the work that I have to do so that I got something meaningful to say when I stand here? So, because most of the time, that those people, and if it's you, please forgive me. I'm not trying to pinpoint anybody because it's more than just a few people. Okay, well, I used to go to lunch every week with my pastor. Yeah, your pastor had 50 people in the church. He had nothing else to do but go to lunch with you. Okay? That's not the case over here. So please adjust your expectations. Amen. And I'm not saying if you're going to come here, expect to have a less of an experience. No. We've got a bunch of pastors on staff. Everybody's very well equipped. We're constantly raising up new leaders. We're doing that. But if you're going to get mad because somebody can't pay attention to you personally and hold your hand for every little thing, you're going to get hurt.
Amen.
If you're going to get mad when you go out there because somebody took the last cookie that you were aiming for, but they got to the cookie before you did, dear God, grow up. I'll give you $5. Go buy a box of cookies someplace. Well, it'll probably take more like $10 today. Some of you said, oh, I can't possibly be that petty. Well, you know, the pastor walked by me this morning, didn't say hello. Do you ever think that maybe the pastor just got a phone call about somebody who's very sick? Or somebody who got into an accident? Or somebody that's going through something? Or some type of a equipment failure here that I got concerned about? You know, if that happens, please forgive me in advance.
Amen.
But like the scripture says, we're going to cover it. Make allowances for each other's faults.
Amen.
And some of us set ourselves up to get hurt. It's just the way it is.
Amen.
Amen? So if you came from another church, if you feel like this is where God has you, then please erase your experiences from the past. Well, you know, my pastor used to teach it this way. Well, good, then what are you doing here? Why don't you stay with him? Please don't take it harsh that way. I'm just saying. If you came here, obviously you came here because you feel like God's drawing you here and that you're getting fed here, and you don't ruin the experience. Okay? And don't go into relationships, and this happens all the time, and no matter how many times you talk to Christians, they do the same thing. Don't go into relationships for what you can get. Go into relationships for what you can bring.
Amen.
You'll never get hurt that way. I don't feel like you're getting it. I don't know. You know, many, many years ago, we used to live in Beechwood. And so to come up to the office, we had to go through downtown Toms River and come up Hooper Avenue, Brick Boulevard, and stuff like that. I'll never forget one day, I was approaching Silverton. Beautiful, nice day, just like this morning. And I hear this on the inside. You know, you're not the center of the universe. And I went, that's a nice way to start the day off. Thank you. It's not about you. I'm going to tell you the same thing. And please, I'm saying because I want us to all, let's all grow up.
Amen.
So that it's easier to keep our heart clear from these issues.
Amen.
Stop living like everything is about you.
Amen.
Even our faith, okay? You're saved, praise God. Now God wants to use you to reach somebody else who was in the state that you used to be in.
Amen.
But if everything always has to be about you, you're never going to reach a person. You'll go to heaven and there'll be nobody following you behind you. This is a life of sacrifice. I don't know if you want to realize that or not. It's not all about you. And I'm telling you, this needs to be taught because for the past 10 to 15 years, the church world wanted to make Christianity all about us. You'd have your best day yet and your best life yet and your best this and your best that. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. And God loves you so much. God just chases after you. Really?
Nope.
Where did that come from? Because I saw a rich guy came up to Jesus to talk to him one day, and Jesus says to him, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. You know what he did? The guy walked away. You know what Jesus did? Kept preaching. He didn't stop and go, oh, wait a minute, young man, come back here. Let me rephrase that. Maybe I was a little harsh when I said, no, he let him walk away.
Amen.
Get that in your head. He let him walk away. He's God, we're not.
Amen.
All right, I feel better. Accept the past. Understand that you cannot change the past. You can only learn from it. Yes. Stop putting your past in the position to torment you. It's done. It's over with. It's done. Now learn from it. Yes. Learn from it so you don't make the same mistakes again. Learn from it. And honestly, if the lesson that you learn is you can't trust that person, then learn that lesson. Well, I want to walk in love. Walk in love from 1,500 miles away. Amen. You're commanded to love. You're not commanded to trust. Amen. You trust is earned. Amen. Is this too much reality this morning? I feel like everybody's sitting here shocked, like, can't believe you're saying this. How many times do you want to get beat up? How many times are you going to set yourself up to get hurt? You can love somebody and still keep one eye on them.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Good word.
Because I think maybe we should do a whole series on the poison of enabling.
Amen.
We don't grow. Maybe that's the next heart condition we need to talk about. And listen to me. Listen to me. And I hope we have a bunch of enablers here this morning to hear this. An enabler, because I'm not talking about you. Let me turn around. Because somebody's in the lobby going to go, oh, I know you were looking right at me when you said that. I'm like, I didn't even know you were in the room. So, an enabler projects this image that they really love the person. It's not true. An enabler always does what they do because it makes them look better. Enabling is very self-centered. It's destructive. It's destructive because you're allowing that person to keep doing what they're doing. They're eventually going to reap from what they're doing, and you don't really love them enough to step in and go, hey, what are you doing? You can't keep living like this. You can't keep hurting me like this. You can't keep hurting other people like this. Stop it. I love you, and it's because I love you, I'm telling you, I'm not putting up with this blank anymore.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I think I feel a little bit better at that one too now. So, no, I forgot this part. Okay? You can't change the past. You can only learn from it. Learn from it. Look, Pastor, I don't understand. I've been married 4 times and every one is a disaster. I'm not a mathematician expert, but I know about denominators, common denominators.
In the mirror.
Focus on what you can change, because there's some things you can't change. Cultivate gratitude. Shift your focus from what you're lacking to what is positive and valuable about your life. These are all practical things. Stop focusing on what you don't have. Stop, because that is a major source of bitterness.
Amen.
I don't understand. You know, I got the same kind of job that person has. I don't know why. How come they have a bigger house? How come they got 2 cars? How come they go on vacations? I can't go anywhere. Maybe because they don't spend $9 on a cup of coffee 5 times a week. Should we get even more practical now? How about because maybe they cook at night instead of going to spend $60 at the restaurant for food that you could throw in the garbage anyway?
Amen.
Now, I hope there's no restaurant people in here. I apologize to you. But you see where I'm going?
Yes.
These are the things that we need to be intentional about. Catch yourself. When you start asking that question, I wonder what that person does for a living. Catch yourself. You're heading in the direction of jealousy, and jealousy will always lead to bitterness and resentment. And you know who you ultimately get resentful against? We'll never say it, we'll never admit it, but we get resentful to God. Why did you make that person prosper? I'm a better person than them. I should be prospering, not that person. Oh my God. Get away from somebody like that, because the ground might open at any second. So we talked about gratitude, right?
Yeah.
And then forgive. I mean, come on, common sense. Forgiveness is a process of releasing resentment. Releasing resentment. Really, it's almost like you're doing a cleanse, like a toxic, because you want to get all the toxins out of your system. Well, where are you going to start with? You're going to start with certain elements, because certain elements are going to help certain organs in your body detoxify. Well, the number one thing to start with is forgiveness.
Amen.
Forgive. Yeah, but you don't understand. I did nothing wrong. So now you did nothing wrong. You got hurt. So now you want to keep getting hurt? Release the person. Release forgiveness. You're holding on to the resentment. You're actually holding on and telling the resentment, come on, get rooted deeper, get rooted deeper, get rooted deeper. Let it go. It's a process of releasing resentment and can involve examining the experience and processing the emotion involved. Why is this so important? Because here's the thing that we very rarely talk about. Bitterness will cause you to freeze in your soul at the age of when that trauma took place.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Because this is going to explain a lot of things. It may explain some things to people that are in this room right now. Okay? Bitterness over a trauma, an offense, a hurt, a wound will cause an individual in their soul to freeze at that point in life. The only problem is the body keeps growing. Life keeps happening. It never gets dealt with. And that would explain why you could have a person who's 50 years old physically, but they react to a situation like a 12-year-old when they get triggered.
Amen.
I can prove it to you biblically. David was raised in a dysfunctional home. Now, today you would say, what home is not dysfunctional? But back then, it's a different story. David's the youngest of all his brothers, did not receive any kind of affirmation, did not receive any kind of approval. If anything, he was the object of mockery from his older brothers. David shows up on the battlefield with Goliath and his brother. What are you doing here, you punk? Why aren't you home taking care of those couple of sheep that our father has? What are you doing? You're just over here looking for the limelight. They accuse him of everything that wasn't true. Samuel, previous to that, Samuel, the greatest prophet in the history of Israel, shows up at their house, and they don't even call David to come in and have lunch with the prophet. When the prophet addresses every one of the sons, because God sent them there to anoint the next king, God, every one of them stood in front of him, and God goes, not him, not him, not him, not him, not him, not him. Finally, then Samuel goes to Jesse, David's father, is this it? This all your son? Nah, there's the punk. He's out in the fields with the smelly sheep. And Samuel has to tell the father, call him in here. So David's been treated like this whole life. Is it possible that later on in life, now I'm not excusing things, but is it possible later on in life that these same traits now show up because he froze in that area from when he was a teenager? Thank God it didn't affect his fight with Goliath, but it affected his fight. It affected his ability to be a father and affected his ability to be a leader later on. When stuff happened in his family that he should have put his foot down, he doesn't take any action. So you got a brother, a half-brother that rapes the half-sister, another brother that wants to kill the guy who raped the sister, and the whole family is just exploding in flames. And David sits back and does nothing. In fact, when Absalom, the one who wants to take his throne away from him, rises up, Absalom eventually is killed. And David doesn't mourn the people that died in battle. David mourns his son who was trying to dethrone him. That's not logical. It doesn't make sense. Is it possible that David froze in that area of his soul and wasn't able to make right decisions because he never dealt with the issue of the fact that he was treated like a misfit by his own family?
Amen.
And I bring that out to you. For this reason, is it possible that there's something stuck in your soul? You stuck somewhere. You froze somewhere. And until you deal with that resentment, until you deal with the bitterness, until you ask for forgiveness or release forgiveness, you're going to freeze. Is there an area of your life where you should be responding in a particular way, but you find yourself always knee-jerk reaction when you get triggered?
Amen.
Bring it to the Lord. I don't even tell you to bring it to another person, because that person might get triggered by what you're telling them. What I'm saying is bring it to the Lord. Lord, Holy Spirit, check me out here. Has this happened to me? Did something? Now, I don't want a whole bunch of people going back in their minds, and well, maybe I was molested, maybe I was traumatized, maybe, and I'm sure in the group this size, there are some that were. But don't keep letting the thing fester in you. Let God deal with it. Does this make any sense today? Because these are the things that we respond, we explode with rage, and then later on when we come down, then we got to deal with the guilt and condemnation. Like, why was it this? And I had a counselor friend many years ago say, look, as a pastor, you need to look for certain indicators. Like you put it this way, exactly what he said to me. He said, Joe, when something that happens in a person's life that should get this much of a reaction gets this much of a reaction, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Start digging in a little deeper. Start praying for the person a little bit different. And let's face it, it happens to many of us. But what are we going to do? Keep allowing this stuff to just destroy us on the inside? No, just forgive.
Amen.
Amen? So what's forgiveness? Forgiveness, now listen, if you were here a couple of Wednesday nights ago, I covered this in detail. I would suggest you go listen to that teaching from not last Wednesday, the Wednesday before. Some of you were here for that. Definition of forgiveness. Giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me.
Amen.
And listen, it's impossible to live on this fallen planet without getting hurt. You're going to get offended. You're going to get misunderstood. You're going to be lied to. You're going to be rejected.
Amen.
And obviously, God knows how damaging this is because, again, Colossians 3, verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults. Make allowance. But why are we surprised when somebody hurts us? Why are we surprised when someone disappoints us? Why are we surprised when we see a side of someone that maybe we didn't know was there before? You don't think you did that to anybody else? So just settle in your head. Look, we're all human. We can all be jerks at one time or another.
Amen.
It's going to happen. So make provision for it ahead of time. When somebody does something, don't make the knee-jerk reaction, I hate them, I want to rip their throat out. Just make the response, I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know what kind of day they're having. I don't know what's, something might be bothering them that has nothing to do with me. Make allowances. In other words, figure out ahead of time that you're going to need this deposit of grace because at any given day, at any given time, somebody can pop up in front of you that's going to cause you to get offended.
Amen.
And it may have nothing to do with you. But if you prepare yourself ahead of time, you'll be okay. For instance, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands because I don't want to get disappointed. How many people do not have a budget? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. I just said don't raise your hand. You know that emergency situations are going to pop up. If you're smart, even if you have to sacrifice, you'll put something aside, right? What are you doing? You'll make an allowance for that emergency that might come up someday.
Amen.
And you know it's going to come. The car is going to break down. The dishwasher is going to break down. The washing machine is going to break down. Something's going to happen. And you're not prepared for it. And then it throws you into a tizzy. And it takes you a year to get your finances back in order. If you know that's going to happen, then think ahead. Be intentional. Start, even if you got to sacrifice. So maybe you don't go to Starbucks for a week. Oh, pastor, don't say that. Put some money away. Well, do the same thing when it comes to the grace of God.
Amen.
You know, at any given day, you're going to encounter another human being who's flawed just like you.
Amen.
Who's dealing with stuff just like you are. Why do we get surprised when somebody does something stupid to hurt our feelings? Put some grace in that deposit so it's there when you have to access it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, I don't have time to go through this all, but if you go listen to the message from two Wednesday nights ago, you'll get the entire teaching. Forgiveness is extremely important. Because number one, Our basis for our relationship with our Father in heaven is based on forgiveness. Number two, important reason why you need to forgive. If you follow Jesus's life and you read through the Gospels, you will find that every time Jesus introduced an important doctrine, an important teaching, he attached it and connected it to the ability to forgive.
Amen.
I'll show you one example and I'll just paraphrase the other one. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Does anybody know what Matthew chapter 6 covers? The Our Father. Okay, everybody remember the Our Father?
Yes.
Okay. This then, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Because the disciples came to Jesus and said, listen, you got a pretty good prayer life here. We see you get results. Can you teach us how to pray? And he teaches them how to pray. Now remember, this is a formula for prayer. This is not, okay. What is he? Our Father, come on, you want to say it together with me? Our Father, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we stop there. Stop. And we stop there and go, what? Amen. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus just gets done teaching him about prayer, right? He gives him the whole formula for prayer. And look at verse 14. For if you forgive men their sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. In other words, your prayers will be completely ineffective.
Amen.
And then people say, I don't understand why my prayers don't get answered. I don't understand why my prayers feel like they hit the ceiling and they bounce back. That's a major indicator. Your EKG is showing something abnormal. All right?
Amen.
Here's another one. Jesus is teaching on faith. And for us faith people, this is like the Our Father for us. Mark 11, 23. Jesus speaking, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt where? In his heart. But believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you received them and you will have them. And we stop there. But the verse of scripture doesn't stop there. Verse 25 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Two major doctrines in the gospel.
Amen.
Teaching on prayer and teaching on being able to operate in faith are both connected to forgiveness. Do you think it's important to forgive? Absolutely. Stand up, everybody. Did you get anything this morning?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to lead us in a confession of faith. What is a confession of faith? It is a statement we make with the desire for us to establish it as truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is for all of us. We should have it on the screen. Here we go. Let's say this together. With God's grace, I will not allow bitterness to take hold of me. With God's grace, I forgive others the way Christ forgives me. With God's grace, I forgive my past sins and mistakes. With God's grace, I am pulling up every root of bitterness growing in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let this be established in your heart. The Bible tells us another principle. You shall decree a thing, and God says, I will establish it. We just decreed this. We're establishing it. Now, don't uproot this confession. Uproot the bitterness. Don't go out here and go, oh, we said this thing, but I don't know if it's really going to work. No, you just uprooted it. Believe that your words have power to them.
Yes.
Because God tells us they do.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
One more thing, and then we're going to be dismissed very quickly. If you're here this morning and you have never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do not tamper with your eternal destination. Where you're going to spend your eternity is not based on how good you are, what a good person you are, how much money you give away, how much you pray, how many times you go to church. It is dependent on and determined by your position with Jesus Christ. Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to come into your life and therefore received his Holy Spirit living in you? That is what you need to do so that you will spend eternity in God's presence rather than spending eternity separated from him in a place of torment.
Amen.
I'd be negligent if I didn't bring this out in the service. And I would imagine in a group this size, there has to be at least one or two people that have never prayed that prayer. Please, please don't gamble with your eternity. Because a decision has to be made here while you're still in this body. Once we take our last breath, it is sealed forever. So I ask you, if that's you and you've never prayed that prayer to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, when everyone else is dismissed, come up here. There's people that will lead you in a very simple prayer. And you can leave this place today knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If God forbid you were to take your last breath today, you would be immediately in his presence.
Amen.
God bless you. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.